Amen. How many of you ever heard things go better with Coke? I'm not trying to be funny. And I ain't talking about the imitation stuff. I'm talking about the real deal. When I go in and I order coffee, I make sure they know I want leaded, not unleaded. I want real coffee. And you know, the society and the world in which we live is no different. They want the real thing. And we've seen portrayed through, I got to be careful here. They've seen people that talk the talk but don't walk the walk. And I've had cowboys say to me, man, I ain't going to church. Ain't nothing up there but a bunch of hypocrites. Same guys I see down at the bar, up there at church. I said, well, then quit going to the bar because they hypocrites down there too. Where I'm going with this, there's a world full of real people with real problems, real hurts, real pains, real addictions, real loneliness, real depression, real oppression, real sickness and disease, real broken relationships. But we have a real God to give them. I was sharing with Gary, Josh's dad, today. I was visiting with him, getting to know him. And you know, it's not our reputation that's on the line. It's not your reputation that's on the line. It's the Lord's. And it's important for us to grasp that because Jesus has not grown old, feeble, weak, senile, not lost his powers. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still has the same heart. He still has the same mission. He still has the same passion. He still has the same power to do what needs to be done. Some people have been reluctant and hesitant to step out there because we have adopted this mentality, well, I know God can, but for some reason we don't think that he will. Listen, it's his responsibility to be God. It's our responsibilities to be a witness and to proclaim the gospel and to share the word and to give people hope and to love the unlovable and to reach out to those that are in need. And I was sitting over here just a while ago, and the Lord took me to Mark chapter 2. It says, and again he entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noised that he was in the house, he being Jesus. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Is it easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Let me tell you something. Miracles are for the unbeliever, that they may see and believe. Unfortunately, the church has wanted to make it for their entertainment. You see, the Lord wants to confirm his word with signs and wonders, but he only does so through people with right motives and right and pure hearts and clean hands. And he's wanting the church. That's you. That's me. That's any who know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, to be his witness, to be his mouth, to be his hand extended, to be his feet to go. The Great Commission is what? Go. Go into the world and preach the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news. Good news, you can be saved and your sins cleansed. You can be healthy spirit, mind, soul, and body. Your relationships can be restored. There's hope in your hopelessness. There's peace, not as the world gives, but his peace he gives unto us. It's available to us because Scripture says that in his presence there's fullness of joy, and at his feet there's peace forevermore. Are you in chaos and trouble and torment? Get in his presence. It can't stay. It has to go, because in his presence is exactly what you need. There's peace. There's joy. Now, I want to look at this story for just a few moments. I'm not really going to preach tonight, but I want to exhort us who, how many of you are Christians? You know Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you for those that are honest and didn't raise your hand. We're going to give you a chance later on to be a Christian tonight. But for those that raised your hand, you haven't been called and commissioned to occupy 18 inches of, some of you more than that, but, I didn't say that. You haven't been called to occupy space and to breathe air, and to be a sponge that will drink up good singing and preaching and conversation and things of that. You've been called and empowered to be a witness. The whole purpose of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is to be a witness, not to put on a show, to be a witness. And none of you who are children of God are exempt from being a witness. You may not all sing, you may not all preach, you may not all teach, but you can, at work, at school, in your fellowship time with just friends, you're going to have opportunities. God is going to set up divine appointments to where sometimes just one word, just one line would give someone encouragement and hope. You've heard me say before, and I believe it with all of my heart, bears repeating, some of you in the slow learners class. One of the devil's favorite tools is to try to get you to a place where you have feelings of hopelessness. Why is that? I've said it before. Why does he want you to have feelings of hopelessness and futility? Because if he gets you to that place, you can't even have faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if he gets you to a place of hopelessness, you can't have faith. Word tells us to hope thou in God. Why? Because he's a God of hope. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're enduring, he is a God that will make a way through. He doesn't want you to pitch your tent and camp out there. Learn what you need to learn from that place, from that time. Fulfill your destiny, fulfill your mission of why you're there, and move on. Get out. Let's look at this passage of Scripture for just a few minutes tonight, and this is a challenge to you to examine yourself and to say, hey, I want to be a part. I want to be a doer of the word. I want to be a soldier that goes into battle with a purpose and with a mission and walking in the peace and the power and the purposes of God so that I can contribute to the kingdom of God, so that I can be a voice in the wilderness. The first thing I'd like for us to see is in verse 3, where they had a heart. These four men that carried this paralytic, they had a heart for the needy. It's sad to say that churches and denomination is irrelevant, but churches, generally speaking, have lost the heart for the needy and the broken and the wounded and the addict and the pregnant teen and the divorced, and the list goes on and on and on. You feel it? They've lost the heart for those. Need I remind the church they're the very ones that Jesus came to this place for? He said, the healthy have no need of a physician. I've come to bind up the wounded and the brokenhearted. I've come to pour in the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. I've come to set at liberty those that are bound. I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. I have come to give life in exchange for death. I've come to destroy the works of the evil one. That's what he's come to do. His mission has not changed. So where is your heart? Do you have a heart for the needy? Do you stand in the gap and pray for that lost family member or friend or loved one? Do you have a burden ever for the needy? Are you moved with compassion to the point that you weep and cry and intercede for them, maybe even fast with your prayers? Do you take it seriously upon yourself that you could be standing between them and the gates of hell? You are critical. You are important in the army of God. You have a role to play. You're a member of the family of body of Christ that's fitly joined together, and he has a purpose for you. Don't shirk it off. Don't walk away from it. Don't delay. Begins with that heart for the needy. Next we see in verse 4, whereas they were willing to do, I'm speaking of these four men, they were willing to do whatever it took to get this man that was in need to Jesus. You see, they had to first of all go get him. Had to put him on a cot or a stretcher or whatever you want to call it, a leader, a bed. And they had to carry him to where they had heard Jesus was at. And when he got there, Scripture says the place was packed. Have you ever wondered why the place was packed? It was packed because Jesus was in the house. Jesus was the essence and the epitome of love and understanding and compassion. He was there for those that needed him. He had time for them. He wasn't too busy. Whether he was sitting on a hillside or sitting on the steps of the temple or in this house or at Jairus' house, and the list goes on and on and on, where he always had time for the needy. We'll do something for the Lord when it's convenient, when it's easy, when it doesn't put us out, if it doesn't make us go out of our way. But the lesson we need to learn from these men is that they did whatever it took. Now that brings us to the third point in verse 5. Why did they do that? Because in verse 5, they had faith. There was an expectation. They expected that if I can just get them in Jesus' presence, he'll do what I can't, but what is needed to be done. That hasn't changed. You can't save anybody. You can't heal anybody. You can't deliver anybody. You can be a mouthpiece, a voice to give them God's word, to point them to Christ, to get them to him, the one who has not changed, that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can be the voice to get them to the one that still has the power, the desire, and the ability to do what's needed in their life. But we have got to have an expectation about us. You know, Scripture's talking about prayer, and he says, when you pray, talking to his children, you and me, when you pray, don't pray as the heathen do, for they think they're heard for their much speaking or their pretty prayers, their eloquent words. He said, but rather, when you pray, believe. In essence, he's saying, if you're not going to believe, don't pray. Because it's just words if you're not going to believe. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because we'd look like cheerleaders jumping up and down here. How many times we had prayed and we really didn't expect God to do anything. He said, don't do that. When you pray, however often that may be, believe. Expect. You may not know how it's going to take place. You may not understand the whens and the whys and the wheres and the hows, but you can understand this. He will. He will. Those three Hebrew children. 7:56, I'm going to hurry. They wouldn't bow down for that. That's the sound of music. I love it. The king says, we're going to give you another chance to bow. And if you don't, you're going in that fire. And who is that God that is able to deliver you from my hand? They said, we're not afraid to answer you. King James says, we're not careful to answer you on this matter. My God can. And my God will. But even if he don't, we're not going to bow down. Sure enough, they went in the fire. But, man, I love that word. Number one, I can spell it. B-U-T-T. Oh, no, I mean one T. But they came out of that fire. Not only were they not killed, destroyed, burned, there wasn't even any smell of smoke on them. Now, here's faith. Word says this, that faith comes by hearing the word. You want to be a man or woman of more faith? No need in praying for it. Unless you get in the word. There are no shortcuts to growing in faith. You must read the word of God. That's why the devil fights so hard to keep you from God's word, because the more of it you read, the more of it you digest, the more of it gets in your heart, your spirit, your mind, the more bullets you have in your spiritual gun to do battle with, the more confidence you get, the more assurance you have, the more power you possess, the more tools in your toolkit, however you want to word it. The word is absolutely imperative. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall endure forever. Now, he says, I watch over my word to perform it. But if you don't know his word, you can't use his word. If you can't use his word, you can't stand on his word. I'm asking you. I'm begging you. I'll do whatever it takes. Take time to get in the word of God, so that you won't be a weak punching bag of the devil's, but that you'll be able to go toe-to-toe with him and defeat him and be victorious in your life and in your circumstance and in your situation. Verse 12, they see the miracle happen. We'll see miracles. We heard one last week when Tony stood up here and told what God did for him 3.5 years ago, sitting up there, how he delivered him from alcohol. There are many other testimonies in this place. I'm looking at one right here on the front row. Lady come walking into church. Stand up real quick, Janice, if you will. I'm going to really embarrass you. Watched her get out of the vehicle the other day, and she come walking into church just like this, literally. Down at her back, couldn't move. You can sit down. Thank you. Walked in the office, and Brooke, her sister, asked if we could pray for her. We prayed for her and went on about talking our business. And about 30 seconds later or 45 seconds later, I thought, what in the world? God touched her. Amen. Janice, am I telling the truth? She began to just move around and do things. I looked out in the parking lot, and she's doing jumping jacks like a cheerleader. God touched her. I did not heal her. God healed her. And I want you to know that he wants to move and show himself mighty and strong on your behalf. You need to begin to expect it. But now the real miracle, and I close, the real, that's a tongue twister, the real miracle is in verse 5, where when he said, thy sins be forgiven. Would you bow your heads and we're going to close. The word miracle scares a lot of people. But a miracle is simply this, something that man can't do, that only God can do. And the greatest of all miracles is the miracle of salvation. How a person can be on the course headed to hell. And because of the work shed on Calvary that Skeeter sang about a while ago, for us to embrace that work and receive the gift of life that he gives, that's the greatest of all miracles. Now I'm going to ask, as your head is bowed and you're looking at your life, the Bible says for every man to examine himself and to see if he be lacking or of the faith. As you look at your life, I'm not here to judge you, but I'm here to give you an opportunity to realize that the Word of God says this, that I set before you life and death. Choose life. If you say, Dennis, I'm a sinner, I'm living in sin, and I need to ask Jesus to forgive me and to cleanse me and to be my Savior, and I'm ready to do that tonight. I want to do that tonight. I want to ask him. If that's you, would you just raise your hand real quickly, anyone, anywhere? Yes, ma'am, thank you. Anyone else, very quickly? Yes, in the back, in the balcony, anyone, anywhere? Yes, sir, thank you, and thank you, sir. Anyone else, quickly? On the ground floor again, anyone else? Your moment, your time, it's between you and God. Things just aren't right. You don't have that relationship. I'll ask one more time. Yes, sir. Thank you. Anyone else? Very quickly. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Maybe you're a prodigal son or daughter that's you've gone astray and you're living in that pig pen out there. You need to come back to your Heavenly Father and make a new commitment to him. And that's you. Would you just raise your hand, anyone, anywhere? Very quickly. Slip it up. Slip it right back down. You say, Dennis, that's me. Yes, thank you. Anyone else? Very quickly. Thank you, sir. In the back. Yes. All right, look up here at me for just a moment. This is what the Word of God says. That if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God that came to this earth, was tempted in all ways like we are and have been, but was without sin, making his blood sinless and worthy to be that lamb, that sacrificial lamb, slain and shed his blood on a cross for our redemption, to be able to draw us back into relationship with God. If we believe that, he died so we could live. They put him in a grave. He didn't stay dead. He walked out of that grave 3 days later with the keys of death, hell, and the grave, showing his power over death and his ability to give life. Said, if we believe that in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, then we're saved. So for those of you that raised your hand, would everyone just bow your head again? And with that information and with that knowledge, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And it's important to know that my prayers can't save you. You must ask with your mouth, believe in your heart, and receive the gift of life. So let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I do believe that you're God's Son, that died on a cross, shed your blood for me, but you didn't stay dead. You walked out of that grave Easter Sunday morning, and that you're alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father. And you're coming back to get your church. So now I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me with your blood, to come into my life, and to be my Savior and my Lord. I ask you to help me to learn your voice, to learn your ways, to learn your word, so that I can live a life that's pleasing to you and enjoyable to me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. I sure do love y'all.